Blog Talk Radio. Ou alors? Oh well, I guess it's not all. Unless they change the time.
Hey man, I don't, for some reason I've just had prayer and I've been talking for at least the last 3 to 4 minutes. I've had prayer and I just realized that my mic was on mute, so I do apologize for that. I do apologize for that. I'm going to pray one more time, and then we're going to move on over to Tennessee. Father, we thank you for calling us to a new beginning, to a fresh call of discipleship. You're asking me to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. It was at my baptism that you claimed me as your child, that you affirmed that I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer that I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I surrender my will, my desire, and my life to you, O God, and I commit myself to your call of discipleship. To pray frequently, study your word diligently, worship you regularly, invite other people to a life of discipleship, encourage Christians in their life of faith to serve those in need and to give joyfully of the gifts that you first gave me. This I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And again, we are praying for Stuart Hawthorne, who is in the nursing home, and we just see God working with him and through him miraculously. We like to just let you know that, you know, continue to pray for Stuart Hawthorne and anyone else that's in need. If you'd like to call in and ask for prayer, please do. Amen. We're going to move on over to Tennessee, and I'm going to get out of the way and let the man of God share with us what God has laid on his heart. Pastor Robinson, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Amen.
Just,
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're just excited with you being with us. We do thank you for answering, you know, the call to come on and share a word with us. We know that you're always on and you're always interjecting when other ministers are speaking. So we do thank you for taking up that mantle and leading us tonight. Amen. I'm going to move out of the
Amen.
Way. Let the Lord work through you. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Ella John, let me first of all apologize that it took me so long to respond due to the fact there's a lot of things going on with me right now. But God is still on the throne, amen. And
amen.
I was listening in and I thought, I said, oh my goodness, they might have changed the time. I don't know, but nobody's on. And just when I was about to hang up, you came in and started speaking, so I thank God that I didn't hang up. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say good evening to everyone that's on the line tonight. Those who are listening by radio or internet or however you may be to us. Let me just say, may God bless you and keep you as our prayers. Tonight. I just wanted to share a little bit with everybody, and I hope that I get a lot of feedback, because this is something that that kind of touched me as I was preparing this week, and I was looking at Matthew chapter 6 verses 33 and 34, and we may delve into the other verses before then, but let me just read what he is saying here, beginning with verse 33. Is that all right?
Amen.
The Bible says, Jesus says, let me put it this way, Jesus says, and I'm reading from the NIV, the New International Version, said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. And as I was looking at that, I thought, from this subject, what are you looking for? And that's what I want to ask each and every one of you tonight that's on the line. What are you looking for? I don't know what a lot of people are looking for in this world, but that's my question tonight. And I wanted to share and say that, we tend to spend a lot of time looking for a lot of things. And we look for things like fame and fortune. We look for love. And a lot of times when we look for love, we look in all the wrong places. We look for people. Sometimes somebody might get lost and we'll begin to look for them. We look to get even with somebody. We look left, we look right, we look up, we look down, we look in, we look out, and still don't find the things that we're looking for. So I ask again tonight, I want to ask a question tonight, and my church will tell you I'm full of questions. What are you looking for? Well, the Bible tells us in Matthew 6, verse 33, it tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the King James says, will be added unto you. Now, when the Bible says to seek, what does it mean to seek? Well, to seek for something, you search for it, and you try to find it. You look for it, and you be on the lookout for something. Or you can use another couple of words. You can say you're hunting for it, or you hunt for it. Mm-hmm. But tonight, I just want to say, what are you looking for? The Bible tells us, as I read earlier, to seek first the kingdom of God. That's the A part. And his righteousness is the B part of that verse. And all these things will be added unto you is the C part. Now it always strike me that whenever we read this verse, we always want to seem to start at the end of the verse rather than the beginning. People always want a blessing before they start seeking God. You ever been in a situation to where you're witnessing to somebody and the first thing they say is, I want God to bless me, or I want to get cleaned up, or I want to make sure I'm right before I get saved. We always seek to get a reward before we go through the trouble or to go through the pain of getting a pleasure. Mm-hmm. I've understood, as I used to work out with weights, and one of the phrases that we used to use quite often is no pain, no gain. Mm-hmm. Well, I stopped to tell somebody tonight that if you don't seek God, then you won't find God. The Bible tells us to seek and we will find. Watch this. The knock and the door will be opened. The Bible tells us these things. So seeking God is one thing that we need to do, and we need to do more of. And I'm a witness that I need to do more of the same thing. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I'm not just talking to anybody out there, or I'm just not talking to those who are on the line. Me, myself, need to seek God more than I do right now. Now watch this. The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God, or to seek the kingdom of God, and, y'all hear me now? And his righteousness. And his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And his righteousness. So look, we tend to look here and look there, but we never can find the righteousness of God. But to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, what it means is to turn to God first for help. A lot of times we want to turn to our friends, and we want to turn to our neighbors, and we want to turn to our spouses or whomever we feel the closest to. But the Bible says that we need to seek God, and that's who we need to turn to first before we turn to anybody else.
Amen.
Are you with me out there?
Amen.
Y'all stay with me now. I'm kind of up on this thing, and I find that in seeking God, you got to read his word.
Amen.
You got to go to the scriptures before you mm-hmm. seek God. See, let me tell you something. God is not out there hanging in the street. God is not out there in the grocery stores. God is not just somebody that's going to pass by your house and wave. We've got to sit down, get ourselves busy. I'm always told that we need to be in a quiet spot to be able to seek God, so we can be able to hear God's voice and hear him speaking to us. And too many times, people of God, too many times, so-called believers will want everything God got, but they don't want to have to work for it.
Mm.
I've seen this even in my life. I've seen this. Watch what Jesus says here. He says to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. As we go back up into the text, I want to point out a couple of things that Jesus was talking about when he was talking about take no thought for tomorrow. No, he asked a question. He says, why do you worry about clothes? He says, see how the lilies, this is in verse 28, see how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. He says, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. So Jesus is letting us know that if we go after God, this is the way I look at it. If we go after God and everything that he has, his righteousness, to try to live right, to try to do right, and I understand, church, I understand, people of God, that we're going to slip sometimes. We're going to fall. But I've always known that if you slip and fall, you can always get back up. I don't know who I'm talking to out there tonight, and I don't know who I'm speaking with. But listen, you have fallen sometime in your life. But I'm telling you right now to get up from where you are. Get up from where you are and seek God and his righteousness and watch how God will bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Any
Amen.
Comments on that verse? Because I'm looking for some feedback here. See, because I asked myself, Elder John, this question also. What am I looking for? And you all mm-hmm. have witnessed. And I have talked to y'all, and I've told you all that right now I'm looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says for me to seek the kingdom of God, Before I even, now look, watch this. Before I even look for a job, I need to look for God and watch how he worked things out. So somebody out there is in the same shoes I am, same place I am. You're looking for something. And God knows you're looking. But we need to look for him and quit looking for things and start looking, quit looking for things in the natural or things in the flesh or material things and start looking for spiritual things. Start looking for God and start looking for what he is and what he can do for you. Don't worry about what anybody else can do for you, but look for what God himself can do for you.
Amen.
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 If any comments, any feedback?
Well, the mic's on.
Let me ask. Yes, sir. Let me ask you a question. What is really important to you? What's the most important thing in your life? Is it your children? Is it your cars or houses or your animals? Or what is it that really moves you, and what is it that is so important? You see, the most important thing in our life should be to get close to God. That we should want more and more to be connected to God rather than be connected to the world. There's a lot of things that's going on in the world right now. The world is in turmoil. It's spinning like a top, so to speak. But we have to understand that no matter what goes on in this world, no matter how people are or what people do, we still have to understand that God is the one who stands for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen.
Amen.
The Bible says here in verse 34, Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, for tomorrow will worry about itself.
Mm-hmm.
Each day has enough troubles of its own. I wrote this down here as I was looking today. Seven reasons why we shouldn't worry. Seven reasons why we shouldn't worry. Number one is the same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of your life. The same God. Number two, worrying about the future hampers your efforts for today. It puts a damper on your efforts for today. See, there's too many times that we spend time sitting around worrying about how this bill going to get paid or this thing is going to be done tomorrow. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Take care of right now. Take care of right now. The third one is worrying is more harmful than it is helpful. Can you agree with me on that?
Amen.
It's more harmful than it is helpful. Because what do we do when we worry? I mean, we sit around and we get anxiety about things, and we sit around and we mope and we look sad and we look terrible. We feel bad when we worry about things. When we worry about things of tomorrow, there's no room in our minds for God. And we need to have place in our minds to think more toward God than to worry about what's going to happen from one day to the next.
Hmm.
Another reason not to worry is God does not ignore those who depend on him. Those who depend on him. Listen, in our text, earlier in our text, Jesus says, look at the lilies of the field, the fowls of the air, and look at all these things that God made and created. They don't worry about nothing. They don't worry about clothes to wear. They don't worry about food to eat. They don't worry about cars to drive. They don't worry about jobs to get. They don't worry about their spouses, their children. They don't worry about these things. And God says, what more are they than you? You know, we are God's greatest creation.
Mm-hmm.
We're the best thing God has created. Why? Why are we so much better than animals? So much better than the dirt of the ground or the grass in the field? Why are we so much better?
Amen.
Because God has made you and created you in his image and after his likeness. Another thing is, God blew the breath of life into man.
Right. Amen.
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 That's
Amen.
Why we are so much more important. Animals and other things, they don't worry about clothes that they're going to wear. Because they're already dressed and they're already arrayed in all the beauty that God has given them. And so are we.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped to ask you tonight, before I move on to these next couple, what are you looking for? Or can I just ask you this? what are you worried about? What are you worried about? You know, I was so glad that that I came on a couple of weeks ago, and Elder John said, he said, you're going to have a testimony, and I can't wait to get back on and you tell us about it. But see, here's the thing I've done. I try to get in God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that somebody else out there can relate to this. Any of us can relate to this. We get in God's way when God tries to bless us. We so to speak, can I say it this way? We step on God's toes, or we stand in God's path when he tries to make things right for us. In other words, we need to leave things alone, quit worrying about them, quit talking about it, and
yes.
let God do his thing.
Yes.
Listen, the other one is that worry shows a lack of faith in an understanding of God. It shows a lack of faith. If Jesus tells us, people of God, if Jesus tells us, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. And I said this earlier, I know I'm talking to myself, but I'm also trying to help somebody else out there that's got a lot of things going on in their life right now. A lot of things is going on in your life right now.
Amen, amen.
But God says, drop it. Right mm-hmm. now, drop it and leave it alone. Listen to what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 6. Paul wrote, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything.
Mm-hmm.
With prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God will guide your heart in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we need to leave. Let me move on, but we need to leave things alone, man. I'm telling you, we're messing up. Number six is there are real challenges God want us to pursue, and worry and keeps us from all of them.
My God, that's good. That's
wow.
Good.
And.
Wow. There are things out there
mm-hmm.
that God has for you and God has for me. But we can't get what God has because we worry about what everybody else has got.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's a challenge that God wants us to pursue, to go after. It's a challenge that He wants us to run toward. But sitting around worried about it, it just keeps us from it. I mean, if I sit here every day at my desk at home, or I go to the church and I sit there every day, or I sit outside every day worrying about a job or worrying about what's going to take place here or there, then I'm not going after the challenges that God wants me to go after.
Mm-hmm.
And neither are you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So
it's paralyzing. Worry
Amen.
Is paralyzing. It's paralyzing. And if you're paralyzed, you're not productive. If you're not productive, you're not moving in God's will, because God's
mm-hmm.
will is always moving forward, always getting better,
mm-hmm.
always accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes.
when we worry, we're being held back.
Yes, amen.
We're holding ourselves back.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 And that's the enemy's plan, to distract us. You know, yeah, God has gave me back in November. He said, Edna, stay focused. Stay focused and in the assignment that I've given you, stay focused. Because there is so much going on out there in my life and in all of our lives. And like you said, Pastor, the world is and the nation is gone crazy. But see, this is the enemy's tactic. He is so insidious. He wants us to take our focus off of God, who is the center of our life, and focus on those things that are on the outside. But we're
Amen.
To go in, because he that dwelleth in the secret place, we're to go in. And I like what
Amen.
You said about my thing, what are you hungering for? I think that's what you said. But I remember the word was saying, in the word it says, labor for the bread perishes not.
Uh-huh.
Don't labor for that bread that perish, because this here where we're living is temporary. So
that's right.
If we keep that in mind, that this is temporal, and focus on those things that are eternal. I'm not saying that that we don't have those things that or seek for those things that pertain to life. But even in that, God said, I will give you all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Amen.
So that's where we need to be. We need to be focused and centered on him and not worry.
Not worry.
Because worry takes us out of the game. Because now we're consumed, just like Elder Suzanne said, now we're consumed. We're caught up. And God don't want us caught up, because he's created us better than the animals. He's created us for himself, because he loves us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Amen.
The last thing, the last reason why we shouldn't worry is living one day at a time keeps us from being consumed with worry.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. Live one day at a time. And don't let the worries about tomorrow take away what God has for you today. Listen, in our scripture here, verse 32, the Bible says, Jesus said, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. So all these things that I've been talking about, all of these things that I've been ranting and raving about,
Can I
Here's
say,
what we got. Yes, ma'am.
You know, a lot of times we worry, those things that we worry about sometimes don't materialize. We sit up all night worrying about something we have doubt about and not trusting God. But we put our faith in what we can see instead of what God can do.
Amen, amen, amen.
The word, amen. I noticed, when you start getting into the word, when you have all these problems, when you start taking time to get on your knees and pray and fast and focus on what God can do instead of what you see, then life can be much better because it's about trusting God. You know, things that we can't see. We can't see the spiritual world because there's a spiritual warfare going on every day. So we have to trust
Amen.
God. It's just like me. I got in debt trying to help someone that I had been knowing for years. And the debt is tremendous. God opened up doors. Nobody gave me the money, but he opened up doors for me to work to get the extra money. Because
Amen.
If I didn't have the job to get the extra money, then I would be in debt, really in debt, because I wouldn't have been able to pay it. And I figured, and the Bible says that we are a slave to the debtor. So, therefore, if we make a debt, we're supposed to pay that debt off. My girlfriend said that you're supposed to just file bankruptcy. No, you did something that God said in the Bible not to do. When we do things on our own, we're on our own. But then
That's right.
I had God, and God seemed like something comes available for me to do to get the extra money. So I just had to trust God because I was about ready to have gray hair, and gray hair turns into purple, green, or whatever hair after you done got so many gray hair. So I had to start trusting in the Lord, and even when I had cancer, found out I had cancer, and people telling me what I shouldn't do, but they weren't doctors. You know, they were just just opening their mouths. I had to seek God and pray about it, and he gave me strength each and every day to go through what I needed to go through with his help. You know, he took me through that storm. He said, I know the plans that I have, you plans to prosper, and not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future. I had to go on those words. I had to say my future is in God's hand, not in my hands, not in the doctor's hand, not in this cancer. Because nothing happened without God's permission. So I
That's
had
right.
come in. I mean, things. I mean, after I went through the chemo, I mean the operation, chemo, and then the radiation. I mean, the radiation was worse, but then I've been cancer-free for 3 years now. So I just praise God that I trusted in him and not listened to everybody else telling me what to do and what not to do when they weren't my doctor, nor were they my savior. I had to go to the creator of the universe that designed my body. You know, he's sovereign over everything. He has authority over everything. So I had to submit.
Amen.
To him, and I'm still submitting. You know, even with words that pop up sometimes, I might worry, and I said, don't forget, go to the Lord in prayer. We need to go to the Lord in prayer because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And as long as he doesn't want to connect us to the Lord, because when we get connected, there's power in the blood, and there's power in prayer. And there's power in doing what you're supposed to do according to God's will. So you have to just trust God one day at a time, okay? Because who else can you trust? And worrying just all it does is give you stress and take you to the doctor. I have one that I'm praying for every day. I gave them a devotional Bible last week. The person is under a lot of stress. But I said, you have to trust God because what happened is things started doing right for a few days, and she stopped. And I said, you can't stop talking to the Lord because Satan is going to help you to think that things are okay. But if you trust God, even though things might not be okay that day, he'll take you through that. He'll give you the peace that surpasses all understanding.
All understanding, that's right. Look at, I want y'all, before we run out of time here, to go back up to verse 25, if you have your Bibles with me. And Jesus says something here in the first part of verse 25 about worrying. He says, in the NIV, it says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life." Wow. Jesus says, don't even worry about your life. And then he goes on to say in verse 27, he says, who of you by worry can add a single hour to your life?
You can't.
You cannot add a single minute to your life.
A single second
around,
either.
By sitting around worrying. But I tell you what you can do. I tell you what you can do by sitting around worrying. You can take away from your life by sitting around worrying. Because worry, and I know I've gotten away from verse 33, but worry is like a cancer. And if you sit around and worry and worry and worry, my wife tell me all the time, baby, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about it. Because I'll be honest with you, I used to be real bad at worrying. Everything worried me. But then, when you look at the scripture, and Jesus says this, Jesus said this is in red. The words of Christ in the Bible are in red, and this is in red. It says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?
Right.
You cannot add a single hour to your life, but you definitely can take one away.
You can take away
from your life spiritually, mentally, and physically.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you again, going back to our topic, what are you looking for? Or what are you looking for in God? Is it just that you're looking for God to give you materialistic things? Or are you looking for God to just overwhelm you with blessings and all of these things? Is that what we look for in life?
Well,
the Bible said,
like they say, peace of mind is better than anything in the world. That means more than money and whatever that the world has to offer. And when you have the Prince of Peace in your life, he will give you peace. So we have to look for the peace and to do God's will in life and to reach out to others beyond our own families and our own selves.
Is that what we're looking to do? Are we looking to help? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a story right quick. How many of y'all have seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge?
What's the name of it?
Hacksaw Ridge. It's a true story. Hacksaw Ridge.
Saw. Okay.
It's a true story about a young man who was a Seventh-day Adventist who had to go into the military and fight in a war. And one of the things that he didn't believe in, he did not believe in killing. And he told them he would never lift a gun to another man to try to kill them or take their life.
Why did he go in the army? Oh, he was drafted.
He was drafted into the army.
Okay.
Into the war. It was during the war. I believe it was World War One or Two. And as the war began, and he began to fight in the war, it got pretty bad. And he told the general, he said, while you guys are taking lives, I'm going to be saving lives. Now watch where I'm going with this. At the end of the movie, his prayer was to God, as everybody else has left Hacksaw Ridge and went back to the company. While he was still up on the ridge saving lives, one of his single most prayer was, he said, God, just help me save one more life. Help me save one more life. And I'm getting ready to end with this. And as he prayed and asked God to help him save one more life, he was dragging men and lowering them down and off of the ridge and saving men with legs torn off and guts hanging out and arms missing and the sides of the head missing. But he was saving their lives. And he would ask God every time, God, help me save one more life. Save one. And he done that until he saved 75 men. 75 men, he saved their lives all by himself. Now,
okay,
what I'm saying
this,
is.
Okay, the 75 lives that he saved, did he introduce them to Christ? And they lived, or because you said their guts was hanging out and whatever.
Yes. That's the greatness of the movie, is that everybody wanted what he had. Everybody. Now you have to remember, they put him down and they talked about him, they beat him up the whole time he was reading his Bible. But at the end of the movie, everybody wanted what he had. So what I'm saying to all of us tonight, before I leave, what I'm saying to all of us, if we could save one more life, if we can witness to one more person and get them over to the side of Jesus Christ and to help them get Christ in their life, it will make us much better people. Our worrying will stop. The blessings that God has for us will come down even more and more and more. If we could just save one more life, one more life. Is that one of the things that, as people of God, and it might sound like I'm rambling, but I'm just thinking, is that one of the things that we as people of God is looking to do? Are we looking to save one more life?
Well, this is what he said, go out and preach the gospel to all the world. We're supposed to be out there trying to give a testimony and lead people to Christ. That is something that he said that we all should do as Christians.
Yes, ma'am. I understand that. We are supposed to. That's the key word, supposed.
Right, we're supposed to. But when we don't, we're not being obedient, the bottom line.
But my question is to all of us, are we doing it?
Okay.
Are we doing it, or are we just staying in the comfort of our homes and in the comfort of our churches where we're not witnessing to anybody outside of the church? We're witnessing to everybody inside the church. And what we got to remember is everybody's not going to go to church. So my question tonight, and I'm trying to put this in with my message or my Bible study tonight, what are we looking for, or whom are we seeking? What are you seeking? Remember what I said about seeking. It means to hunt for, or to look for, or to search for. I don't know about y'all tonight. And Elder John, I don't know about anybody else out there in radio land. I don't care if you're a preacher or a pastor or a deacon or a bishop or elder. I don't care who you are tonight. We need to be seeking God.
Relax.
We need to be seeking Him and His righteousness. And then everything else that you've been asking for. Now, listen now, this is a promise from Jesus. This is a promise from God. Everything else that you've been asking for will be added to you. Don't look for the addition before you look for God. Remember what I said, no pain, no gain. You're not going to get anywhere in life without a struggle, without some sort of struggle. Because if we remember Christ, he struggled. He struggled those years that he was preaching and teaching. He struggled because man did not like him. Man did not want him. And he struggled. Or let me not use that word struggle, I'm sorry. He suffered. He suffered at the hands of man, and he suffered for every one of us. Amen. So seek God. Seek, as we end this radio show, this conversation, this Bible study, I'm asking each of us to go after God more now. Please do so. Go after God more right now than you ever have in your entire life. I'm running, trying to reach 100, because 99 and a half, it just won't do.
Amen.
Elder John, you can take it from here, man. I'm done. I appreciate everybody listening in. I appreciate all the feedback. Like I said, I need help more than anybody, you know, and I enjoy coming on, talking to all of you guys and having Bible study with you all. And if I'm not on Wednesday night, I'm either at a Bible study at church, or I'm at some kind of meeting because I'm tied up in a lot of stuff. So you guys pray for me. Please pray for me. And hopefully the next time I'm on, we can delve a little bit more into the scripture, and I won't have so much to fuss about. Amen.
No, I don't hear us fussing. What I hear is strategies, so that we don't have to worry. So, you know, you definitely gave us some food for thought. And that is one thing that we go through as in our human nature, and that's worry. That's mm-hmm. worry. That's just human nature. That's human nature. So those strategies
right.
that you shared with us, those seven strategies was critical to our sustainability in terms of trying to stay balanced so that we don't end up flipping and get caught up in worrying and get caught up in
uh-huh.
the situation that we're getting through. So, you know, it was definitely spoke to me. And, you know, I'm sure while you're listening, I'm sure it spoke to you also. We're going to open up and let, you know, if you have any couple of comments real quick before we close. Are there any real comments? There are a few numbers on here that's just listening in. Any comments?
I just said I enjoy everything, and I'm like the pastor. Sometimes I can't listen in on a Wednesday, but when I can, I do listen. And sometimes I might get to the end, but I do tune in. But God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you. Anyone else?
And remember, you can always listen in on the archive library. So if you miss us or there's something that you want to go back and listen to rehash,
okay.
Look us up on the archives and just put in the date, or if you know the person's name who was speaking or the title, you can go right to it and listen to it again. And you can share it. You can share it through social media easily.
Amen.
Or as a text or email.
Okay, well,
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Amen. This was just on Facebook this evening. We did promote it out on
John.
Facebook this evening. Yes, sir.
Let me do something before you end the talk. As I was reading my thing on the internet here, I just want to remind you my middle name ain't Blake.
I'm sorry?
My middle name is not Blake.
I had it wrong?
I just usually go by Paul B. Robinson. I looked at that and I started laughing.
I don't know. I apologize for that.
Don't worry. I just thought it was kind of funny.
I will make that correction. Listen, one of the easiest things to say, I apologize. I'm sorry. I do. Amen. We're going to be praying for you just for your finances as well. Amen. So just keep in mind, we are corporate people for, you know, that God is going to release, you know, whatever struggles you're going through. We're praying that God is going to open them up and give you increase. We're going to be praying on that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You have before we close out?
I just need a word of prayer for my walking ability. I'm still can't walk normal, so I still need prayers. This is Minister Washington.
Amen. I know we're also praying for Pastor Robinson and the jobs, you know, will open up for him. We're praying for that. Anyone else has a prayer?
I just want to say, just keep my as we pray, keep my brother in prayer. One of my brothers is dealing with cancer. And I'm just asking you all to lift him up and pray that God deliver him from prostate cancer tonight.
Amen. It is done. Anyone else?
Yeah.
We're praying for walking abilities, you know, for walking abilities, the mobility to be able to walk. And we're also praying for job, you know, opening up for finances for a job. We're also praying for for the brother who has cancer, and that's Atlanta. Amen. That's Atlanta.
Amen.
So we're going to be praying for all those things. Pastor Robinson, we're going to, you know, we're going to turn it over to you too, so that you can close it out. And so those are the things others have asked for in prayer. Amen. So we're going to submit those things over to you, and you can call on to the Lord.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this Bible study tonight, God. Father, we thank you, first of all, for Elder John for opening these lines, and his wife, Suzanne, Lord God, who diligently comes on and with the Bible study. Now, God, I pray tonight, God, for Sister Washington, Father, who says that she's having trouble walking, Father. And I remember, God, that you healed the lame, Father God, and you caused the blind to see. So, Father, what you done back then, God, I believe that you can do right now, Father. Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over her and her walking ability, God. Father God, I pray for the one who's suffering from cancer tonight, God. Father God, as he go through his struggles with cancer, Father, I know that you are a healer, God, in the sick room. And Father God, just heal his body, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray for each one who listened in tonight. We pray for those who have any kind of complaints and worries, Father, that they need not worry anymore, but to look towards you for all their help and all their troubles. Father, thank you again. We pray in the blessed name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And let everyone say amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank
amen.
You.
Hallelujah. We're going to be, next week, we're going to be in Atlanta. And, you know, Pastor Rose was just on, who asked for cancer for her brother. We're going to be praying for you as well. Amen. God is able to do miraculous things. Just keep in mind, you know, that God is still in the healing business. It's one thing to be on the outside. It's another thing when it hits home. Amen.
So it hits hard, and the enemy you start to shake us up, you know, but we're going to stand firm in the Word of God. Amen. We do thank you for tuning in. We'd like to invite you back next Wednesday. Amen.
Yes,
we will be in Atlanta. We will be in Atlanta. So we do thank you. Pastor Robinson, we do thank you again, and God bless you, and keep in mind.
Thank you for the opportunity. Yes.
Are in prayer. United we stand, and divided we fall. Keep in remembering that every day is a new beginning. We thank you, and God bless you.
New beginning. Amen.
Absolutely.